It's Success Happens on 930 WFMD, a discussion with leaders who share their pathways to success. Success Happens with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Success Happens. It's great to be here. I'm so excited, as always, to have this show and have you all listening, and just very grateful for the opportunity. And today we have our illustrious Frank Mitchell on the board, so thank you, Frank. And, you know, as I was going about putting together the shows, I always try to have it be relevant. You know, what are we dealing with right now where, the people might be interested in the subject matter and obviously dealing with leaders who are there to help us solve problems. And that's what leaders do. And, we don't always agree. We were talking off the air a little bit earlier, we all come from different walks of life, different points of view. There's a couple of things I'm adamant about. One, we be respectful regardless of our differences, and we try to find that commonality, and we try to learn and grow from one another because we're all interested in making tomorrow a better day than today, making the world a better place. And so I really, I see so much in leadership that has to do with negative discourse or focusing on the disagreements. And so I'm really excited today because today we're going to talk about the agreements, where we agree and how wonderful it is to come from different points of view and to agree on something in the interest of moving Frederick County, Frederick City forward, and frankly, I think the region, because I think that this project called the Downtown Hotel and Conference Center area, this project that has been on the block, the chopping block, the whatever you want to call it for some time, is now officially moving forward, and I am so thrilled. I'm thrilled for not only us as a community, but for the region, because Frederick County, with its proximity to Baltimore and Washington, is so critically important to the economic health and wealth of the region. And that we didn't have this asset called a downtown hotel to me is shocking. Being the second largest city in the state, we have a wonderful, oh my gosh, the restaurants, the shopping. People want to come here. They want to walk and play for the weekend in Frederick, and we had no place to put them. So thank God we got this done. So today I'm thrilled to let you all know I have Delegate Karen Lewis-Young here with me. And thank you so much, Karen, for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
And we're going to have fun. We've already done half the show before we started.
It was a dress rehearsal, right?
It was a dress rehearsal. And, just the opportunity to work together to really serve, and there have been a lot of voices who've come in on this project from all parties, really. And I think
it's important.
It's really important to know that this is a bipartisan project. And it really, there are certain people who were against it on both parties, I suppose. But I know Rocky McIntosh, a lot of kudos to Rocky and to Jill King and some of those folks who have really stood up for this opportunity in downtown. And there are many, many other voices who have been in favor. And certainly some people who I tend to hang with have said, what are you nuts? What do you want that for? They've gone again. We haven't agreed. And I've not faltered. We need a downtown hotel. And there is no better organization, no better pristine company than Plamond & Companies to take this on for us. And I'm so honored and thrilled that Pete Plamond Jr. and his group are doing this. So welcome.
I would agree. Thank you. Thank you. And, I was reminding you, and I'm not sure you ever knew it, but go back to 2009, sitting in a conference room in the Chamber of Commerce, I was one of the biggest doubters, not about the fact that we needed a downtown hotel and convention center, conference center we hadn't determined yet, but the process. I was concerned about the process. I didn't think that the right people were necessarily advising us. We had done our due diligence, that concepts were being thrown out without understanding whether they were feasible, had sufficient assessment been done. So, those that were with me will testify testify to the fact that they didn't even think I was on board. I can remember Adrian Jones, who was the president pro tem of the House of Delegates, pulling me aside and saying, aren't you going to support this? And I said, I will if we do our homework.
Well, and
we've done our homework.
Well, kudos to you, Karen, for holding out on that, because I think that we have to be a demand for excellence, mm-hmm. not just shoving something through a system or, frankly, turning something down en masse because, you know, we just are a no. You know, either way doesn't work. You have right. to do your due diligence. You have to know the numbers. You have to and frankly, in that discussion and dialogue, mm-hmm. arises the best solution.
Which is why I'm such a believer and a supporter today, because all my my concerns, my questions have been addressed so thoroughly. And I think sometimes when you are skeptical, when you have doubts, and then you're convinced, you can be a stronger supporter than if you never had a strong opinion one way or the other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here we are, and I think there's probably a lot of confusion for some folks about the project because it has gone through so many iterations
sure.
up and down. So what I'd like to start with is addressing what it was and now what it's become so that we can see the differences mm-hmm. in its evolution. Can you help me kind of clear that up for the listeners?
I can try, but okay, let me give you this disclosure right up front. I don't profess to be the expert on the project.
Richard Griffin
yeah. Certainly the Plamondons, you know,
and they're welcome to call
John
in.
John Fiesler from the Tourism Council, the mayor. They have worked with this on a day-to-day basis. I can tell you about the process at the
Good.
State level.
That's what I want.
And then
Great.
The information that I acquired to make the case on the state, at the state level. But I don't want to profess to be the ultimate expert on this project or even an expert. But, you know, everybody has to remember that this evolved from a concept. And a concept is just that. It's not even a plan. It's an idea. And as assessment studies were done and input from the community came in, that concept has evolved. So, you know, it's very difficult to say, here's what it was yesterday, here's what it is today, because up until very recently, all we had was a concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think some of the major differences today, just off the top of my head, it has gone from about 207 rooms to 180 rooms. That's the hotel. It's gone from 5 floors to 4 floors.
So a little more boutique-y kind of hotel feel, it sounds like.
I don't know if boutique, you know, those two are definitely from community input and, you know, trying to size it to scale mm-hmm. of not only the district, but the space. Another major difference is in terms of who owns what and where the funding goes. In order to delineate, even though there's a public-private partnership, in order to delineate the source of funds that will come from, for example, the state $16 million versus private, that whole concept has been reconfigured to address the concerns of many taxpayers about public funding. So those are the three major differences.
And my understanding, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, and I do have a comment from John Fiesler that he's
sure.
I'm going to share with everyone.
God.
He's so wonderful. Shout out to John. But the idea that the tax revenue
mm-hmm.
would not from other hotels
right.
around the county
mm-hmm.
would not go toward this project. So I think what they were saying is we don't want our tax
right.
money going to support that project that's our competitor. So they worked some of those details out, I think, that was more amenable to other hotel owners and things where there was some concern?
Well, on this particular topic, John Fiesler is certainly the expert, but I can remember being involved in that compromise because at one point the chair of the delegation had said, could you bring a compromise forward? And this was part of it. But the tax revenue from local hotels, there are a lot of misconceptions about that. First of all, only a very small portion of that would go towards any hotel and conference center that met the specifications. Very small portion. The lion's share of that goes to support local projects like the Weinberg Center for the Arts, the Civil War Museum, the Museum in Brunswick. There are probably about 15 projects that John could tell you about. Secondly, it wouldn't go directly to the developer. It goes back to the Tourism Council, to the county, who in turn sends it to the Tourism Council. It's not local tax dollars. Who visits a hotel?
Right.
Not local citizens.
That's right. Right.
And what's this going to do? It might increase the price of a hotel room on a nightly basis between $2 and $4.
Yeah, because I think, and the comment had been that we were at 3%, in the state were as high as 8%, 9%, the mean was 5%. It was like, okay, well, we're not even to the average yet, so let's get ourselves to where we're.
And right. We saw a list of hotel taxes throughout the state, and we were definitely one of the lowest.
Yeah, and
I mean, even now, I would say, I don't know if we're midpoint, I'd say we're between low and midpoint.
Correct. And again, we're a conservative philosophy of lower taxes, and so I can get that. But at some point, you know, to your point, these are outside dollars that are here to help us support a thriving tourism business that we have here. So anyway, that got sorted out, which is really, really great. Where is it on the conference center side?
What do you mean?
In terms of the conference center, is that still a go, and did they rescale that?
Oh, absolutely. The conference center is still a go. I mean, that's critical. That was, one of the main points in doing this. Obviously, we need a downtown hotel, but it is the hotel conference center combination that really has major implications for generating jobs and more revenue to the community. So that has been downsized somewhat. It's fairly minimal. It's still around 20,000 square feet. But also, the financing of that has changed. That originally was going to be financed through public dollars. Now that is, it's owned, financed by the developer.
Well, and that's great. So kudos to everybody, including you and your team at State, who worked on this diligently. I do believe it's something that will benefit all Marylanders to bring this business into our county and our state, because they could choose Leesburg, or they could choose, Fairfax.
Absolutely.
Or they could choose somewhere else. We're going to bring those dollars here.
Yeah. Let me just give you one recent example. I was on the phone yesterday to the assistant executive director of the Maryland Municipal League, and I mentioned this to her, and she said, I'm so delighted. We have always wanted to have conferences in Frederick because it's in the middle of the state.
Ah, very good.
And, now at least we have a venue that would be appropriate for our conferences.
Yeah. No, it's excellent. So I think this is all very good news. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to share some words of wisdom from John Fiesler, our Director of Tourism. And you're listening to Success Happens. I'd like to thank our sponsors. Certainly, Success Happens couldn't do this without Xerox Complete Document Solutions and Sweeties on the Creek. We're scooping now on Free Talk 930 WFMD. Back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton, and I'm thrilled to say I have with me today Delegate Karen Lewis-Young, who has been a big supporter of the eventually. She came around in her thinking. So she's been a supporter of the Downtown Hotel Conference Center. And so I thought it was a great opportunity now that the session is over and we can all really deal with what it has become. And I did want to, before we start any further into the show, I want to make sure everybody's aware of the Festival of the Arts. It's occurring downtown on the Creek. It is an amazing art show. It's a juried show, so that means that artists are invited, and they have to kind of compete, frankly, to get into the show. So you have excellent, excellent quality of artisans there of all kind of mediums. You have woodworkers, you have painters, you have sculptors, you have, you know,
jewelry,
lovely, love. I bought several pieces, really beautiful things from all around the country. So I encourage you to go down. The Festival of the Arts is happening today and tomorrow in downtown Frederick. So do go see it. So here we are. Welcome again to Success Happens. It's great to have Karen with us. And I want to mention also that John Fiesler and I have texted back and forth, and I had asked him. He's indisposed this morning, so he's not available. Okay. But he did give me some words of wisdom that I thought I'd share with you. And one of the things that he mentioned, and I'll see if I can see it without my glasses on, that the that there basically has been a collaboration of different points of view coming together. I'm going to find this in just a second. But tourism has been a critical component of this, but so has Richard Griffin,
yes,
who's the head of economic development for the mayor and the city. And Richard, I just love Richard. He's phenomenal. And how does this work with the city folks working with the state folks like yourself? And some are across the state, to your mm-hmm. point, they're not even in our area, mm-hmm. who have to weigh in on this decision to give funding. Mm-hmm. How does that process work so that the listener or voter understands mm-hmm. how that works?
Well, first of all, you have to look at the district I represent. District 3A is 85% the city of Frederick. Probably the other 15% is largely Clover Hill, Spring Ridge, and a few other smaller communities outside the city. So when I listen to my constituents, city residents, city businesses are 85% of my constituents. And this has been, you know, number one project for several years from the city. Having served in the previous administration, it was certainly a major topic that I had familiarity with. So when I represent the interests of my constituents, you know, I weigh in on state level legislation and issues, but also I'm there specifically to represent my district. So I bring their issues and their needs forward. For example, you know, I had a bill to help the youth ranch because we have such a strong opioid problem in this community. So I try to represent issues from our community.
We're going to talk more about that some other time.
We will.
Because I will help you with that. I'm a huge believer in that project. So that's excellent. So I want to share with you what John said. So here's what John said, Director of Tourism. He said that tourism is very excited about the new design and that we are pleased to see the new funding split, which incorporates an even cleaner distinction between the public and private components of this project. The public dollars will pay for the land, road improvements, and build the underground public parking. The private dollars will build and maintain the hotel and meeting space on top. This arrangement will be incorporated into the next legal agreement with the developer.
I'm glad he wrote that in because, you know, I was trying to paraphrase that, and that is so important. Of all the misconceptions, misunderstandings about this project, that is the single greatest one. Understanding what public money is going into the project, where it's going, and that public dollars are not supporting the hotel. So I'm glad he sent the precise wording in.
Yeah, that's great.
But back to your question, you know, when you are making a really strong request, you know, you have to get the support of leadership. You know, if it's a bill, you need to go to the committee chair or the subcommittee chair or both and get support for your idea. When you're looking for dollars, particularly a lot of dollars, you have to get to the support of leadership. And that is exactly what we did.
And who were those leadership people that you sought out?
Well, Delegate Krim and I have spoken to the Speaker of the House on numerous occasions about this. And Senator Young has spoken to Mike Miller, the president of the Senate, because, you know, $16 million is a lot of money. And there's always been this feeling in Frederick that we don't get our fair share. So we made sure we went right to the top and we went back again and again and again to try to ensure that that money would be in the budget.
We call that the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Well, you know, never assume anything,
right,
and never make one request. You've got to follow up. You've got to do your homework. You've got to follow up. You know, we get so busy. You know, 2,000 bills go through. Well, maybe closer to 3,000. And, you know, you can, your issue can get easily get lost in the shuffle. So you have to keep in front of the decision makers.
Well, and if it's really important, you don't let it go. You don't just make the one ask, because otherwise it doesn't seem that important.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we also obviously had to speak to the committee chairs as well.
And which committees were they?
Well, on the House, it was the Appropriations Committee. And in the Senate, the Budget Committee, because, you know, we didn't want them to be blindsided by this request. And, you know, the three of us really had to work in partnership. I mean, if I look over my career and think about where were the most important partnerships developed, it was certainly the three of us. We had to work. We each had a slightly different role. But
you,
we had
Ron and Carol.
And Carol. Uh-huh. And that's who represents the city of Frederick.
Right.
We are the three state legislators that have the city in our district.
And you mentioned the other woman who mentioned she was pleased that you were doing this. Was there any other people across the state or in our county who did come forward and say, we're on your team, we want this to happen?
Well, Jan Gardner was certainly a strong supporter, and that helped a lot. When our county exec came, you know, meeting after meeting. And, you know, if you've ever gone to a hearing, you know that you can sometimes sit and wait 2 to 3 hours before you get your 3 minutes in front of the committee. And she was a constant supporter. Not only did she testify in committee, but she came and spoke with leadership as well.
Very good. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Thank you very much, Karen, for helping us to understand the process, because I think as voters, we don't understand the intricacies of that process that must occur in order for $16 million in this instance to be allocated. So you're listening to Success Happens. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Sweeties on the Creek and Xerox Complete Document Solutions. Make sure you stop by Festival of the Arts downtown on the Creek, happening now. And you're listening to Free Talk 930 WFMD.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com, a service of Mobile Tire Guys. They come to you.
Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton. I want to give the listeners an opportunity to call in and ask a question or make a comment. So you can call 301-694-9363. That's 301-694-WFMD. And feel free to share your thoughts and pearls of wisdom, if you will, with Delegate Young. Now, we were talking, we've covered a number of things. So I want to make sure we cover a couple of things. One is the economic impact of this project and job creation, which I'm just a huge believer in. But we were talking, Karen, on the break about this idea of some of the misconceptions. And you mentioned that you'd had a conversation with Mr. Plamondon earlier this week. And if you feel comfortable to share some of those, might be helpful. But that's up to you. You know, what are some of these misconceptions?
Well, you know, some of the misconceptions that he observed are some of the same ones that I have observed, as well as, you know, other elected officials. This misunderstanding about what tax dollars are actually paying for, and the thought that there's going to be a pass through to the developer, that is not true. And I think John Fiesler in his statement very accurately portrayed what are the sources of funds and how are they being allocated. And he differentiated that public dollars go to the platform, if you will, parking, infrastructure for utilities, and roads.
Which should be a city or state-funded kind of thing.
Absolutely. Infrastructure is
right.
Publicly funded. And, you know, people say, well, your numbers have changed. You told me something, a year or two ago, and you're telling me something different today. Well, yes, this project is evolving. It was merely a concept. We are doing major work to our backyard this summer. I can't tell you what my garden's going to cost because the price of mulch changes every week. So in a large...
Or in my case, if you're going to use that analogy, I choose to move things around four times before I settle on where it's all going. So the design evolves, the concept evolves.
Absolutely. First of all, we're going from concept to an actual plan. That alone changes costs, changes parameters. And secondly, you know, we are listening to the public and changing the design to accommodate their preferences, their needs. That's going to affect it. You know,
input. I think that when the listeners, the voters, get involved in the process, and we keep it really highbrow, we're positive input.
Mm-hmm.
It does become a better project.
Exactly. So, you know, and keep in mind that this element is not going to change. This project still needs to be approved by the Historic Commission, by the Planning Commission, by the mayor and board. There are going to be numerous changes. So the parameters and therefore the costs are going to change. And even then, I know when I did major projects, I always allowed for 15% contingency because there are just some things you can't anticipate and costs change.
Yeah, absolutely. On that note, we're going to take a call right now from a gentleman by the name of Butch. So welcome to Success Happens. And Butch, what is your question or comment?
Well, I was listening before the break at the bottom of the hour, and I heard they have to go through 3,000 bills.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, how much legislation can you do with 3,000 bills? I mean, how much micromanagement can we have in this state by operating a delegation that has to go through 3,000 bills? That's asinine.
Well, first of all, 3,000 bills may be introduced, but many of them don't go anywhere. I think maybe 800 bills passed in total for the entire state. So every bill, a lot of bills are withdrawn before they even get a hearing because they realize, I'm not going to use your words, but they, many people realize that the bills don't have a lot of merit. We'll use those words.
Well said.
Some bills get heard in committee, and you know at the hearing that bill isn't going to go anywhere. But, you know, That's why we live in a democracy. Everybody's idea gets a chance to go forward. And if a constituent brings me an idea and I think it has some merit or it deserves to be heard, you know, it's very difficult to say to them, no, your idea isn't a good idea.
Well, and I sat in on a hearing, and by the way, I recommend everybody do this. It's a really cool thing to sit and watch the process. But there are some, to Karen's point, where they'll say, you know what, I think you need to go back and rethink that, retool it.
Absolutely.
Bring it back next year. So a lot of times they're giving you feedback to implement into the evolutionary process so that when you introduce it next time, to Karen's point, it has more merit.
Yeah. So just because.
It's a great question.
It is a good question. But don't assume that because 3,000 pieces of legislation are brought forward, they all move, because they do not.
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Butch.
Sounds ridiculous. So, anyway, enjoying the show anyway.
Wonderful. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks, Butch.
Okay, so we were talking about this. It's a great question because of. You know, it is overwhelming, but that's, you know, that's why you get paid the big bucks.
Especially when you got to vote on them, and you better know what those bills say.
Yeah, you got to read them.
I am always amazed by legislators that stand up at third reading and say, what is this bill about? And I just think, you know what? You are just announcing to 141 people that you haven't done your homework.
Yeah, pretty embarrassing, actually. You got to read the stuff, do the homework. So back to this idea of the misconceptions. There was another, I think we dealt with the idea of the private dollar or public dollars going toward the private business, if you will, of the hotel, which has been extracted from this. So it's strictly Plamondon money on Plamondon business.
Right.
Okay. So to say it in layman terms. So you know, and one thing I just want to keep bringing forward to people is you've got a business, phenomenal business. The Plamondon Partners and hospitality business that they are, investing in excess of $40 million. The number's probably gone up since I first heard it was $44 million, given some of the changes. But they're investing those dollars in our community.
Right.
That's a big deal that a business sees it as viable to invest that large sum of money here. So let's talk about the economic impact of those dollars being invested here and that private-public partnership. The state stepped up, thank you, to make sure that this happens and it brings about more jobs and economic growth. So I think the number that someone had told me, maybe it was Richard Griffin at some point, it was in excess of 300 jobs get created with this project.
Well,
let's talk about what kind of jobs are going to get created.
Well, let's talk about jobs and other kind of spending as well. My understanding, and these may not be the latest numbers, but these are the numbers that I saw most recently, 280 jobs, 110 are direct, 170 are indirect. So that's payroll earnings of a little over $9 million a year. So if you average that out, that's probably an annual salary of $35,000. But keep in mind that includes part-timers, that includes full-timers. So you probably have, you know, some people that are making $25,000, people that are making $45,000. But
all those jobs matter.
I mean, matter.
Really, you know, if somebody wants to work part-time, because they're raising a family or doing whatever.
Absolutely.
God bless them. Thank you for working part-time. That's a choice they're making.
They're making.
You know, get into a whole other thing about how grossly underemployed a lot of people are right now. So I think that the unemployment numbers are skewed, frankly, a bit. But back to this idea that there's a plethora and a range of these jobs coming in. And by the way, some of these are, I'll call them secondary kind of jobs that get created that are servicing that business. So vendors, et cetera.
Yeah, so I think you have to look at the economic impact because the jobs are a subset of the overall economic impact. So several studies have estimated roughly $26 million a year in direct, indirect, and induced spending annually. $1.5 million in incremental state taxes. So let's pause on that number.
Yeah, bring it back to that $16 million that the state invested.
Okay, $16 million. $1.5 million a year in incremental state taxes. So essentially, that $16 million will be paid off in...
What, about 10 years?
Oh, about 10, a little over 10 years. Between 10 and 11. So also local taxes of about $750,000 a year. So that would be county and city. But here's another economic impact that I rarely hear. $100 million in what I would call catalyst development.
What largely, do you mean by that?
Well, on the east side of town, largely. So once this hotel, I mean, there are businesses predominantly on the east side of town that are saying, I'm going to expand my business, but I want to wait until this hotel gets moving. So we'll call it follow-up development. And one of the reasons a downtown hotel is so important, and conference center, of course, because they're a partnership, is that there are over 200 restaurant and retail establishments within 10 minutes of the downtown hotel and conference center. So, you know, I've gone to many, many, many industry conferences, either during the 30 years I was in banking and financial services or now as a state legislator. And most of them are in downtown venues because you don't want to eat at the hotel. Maybe you might
you once do it
or
once,
twice.
But yeah.
You want to walk around and shop and eat in the
experience the local,
exactly.
What I'll call vibe. One thing you had mentioned off air, and I want to make sure we share this with everyone, you had somebody tell you from across the state that they were excited we were putting this in because they wanted to bring their group here. Share
yes.
that comment
right.
that person made.
Well, I've had a number of people say that to me because they love Frederick. I was talking to the assistant executive director from the Maryland Municipal League, and, you know, they have a very large convention in the summer, but they have smaller conferences throughout the year, conferences, meetings. And she said, we have always wanted to come to Frederick as a venue because it's positioned in the middle of the state. The people from the Eastern Shore, you know, don't have to drive all the way out to the western part of the state and vice versa. It's geographically located. But you've never had the right venue for our meetings. And this is kind of reminiscent of, I think, the kind of conferences that this facility will attract. The more professional, technical kinds of conferences and planning offsites that are looking for a full-service hotel
Very
and conference
good.
Center.
Well, I think, to your points, being the center of the state really is critical for statewide organizations or regional organizations that want that proximity to Washington, et cetera. We have a caller, but I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with our caller. You're listening to Success Happens. I have with me today Karen Young, delegate for the city of Frederick, and we're thrilled to have her here and give her her insights and I'd like to thank our sponsors, Xerox Complete Document Solutions and Sweeties on the Creek on Free Talk 930 WFMD. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton. I have with me today Delegate Karen Lewis Young, and we are talking about the city of Frederick, the Downtown Hotel and Conference Center project, and the economic impact of it. And was our kind of our last conversation. But I want to invite our caller to share any comments or ask his question. Brad, are you there?
This is Fred in Frederick.
Hi, Fred in Frederick.
Yes, I just had a quick question. First of all, I think many, many people, including myself, are in agreement that the downtown does need a hotel. So it's just a question of the means. My question is simply that I've seen reports that the city allocated or budgeted $10,000 for lobbying in Annapolis that got matched by the county. And wasn't there a pledge that no government funding would be involved for this type of thing? There was a letter to the editor the other day in the Frederick News Post by a man named, I can't pronounce it, Barano.
Bruce Barriano.
Bruce Barriano.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Which did bring this up, and I wanted to ask about this in light of the reported pledge that no government funding would be involved.
Okay, I got that. Thank you, Fred, for calling. Karen, do you have an answer to his question? I have a comment. Yeah. My comment would be lobbying happens.
I cannot.
In the world of reality.
I cannot speak to the city or the county's decision to invest in a lobbyist. I was not involved in that decision, nor was I consulted about that decision, nor should I be. Mm-hmm. That was their choice. I know that topic was brought up when I was an alderwoman, and I was not in favor of it. And that's public information. I stated mm-hmm. it at a public meeting, so, you know, that's their choice. Mm-hmm. I don't want to address a decision that I didn't make.
Yeah, I got that. Well, and I think that, you know, again, if one were to go and sit in a hearing, a lot of times from my – because I know some of the lobbyists in Annapolis. Mm-hmm. I used to live down there, and I used to, frankly, make clothes for some of the guys when I was in the clothing business, you know. And so the lobbyists exist to represent ideas in front of the hearing in a way that helps to formulate, I think, and pitch the concept of what they're trying to get accomplished.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you're hiring these people to basically be your salesperson. And so, you know, yeah. I know they get a lot of bad rap, but if you sit in a hearing and you watch them present or represent and sit beside, often their attorneys,
yeah,
sit beside these organizations that are fighting for something, uh-huh, that's why they're hired.
Well, you know, I kind of have mixed thoughts on them. And I can understand why organizations do hire them, because a legislator will sponsor your legislation. But we all work legislation and issues differently. There are some legislators that take on a whole lot of bills, or even if they don't work their bills. They introduce them. That's it. It's over.
You're on your own.
You know, I'm different. I work my bills. If, you know, somebody wants to hire a lobbyist to work on it, that's their prerogative. But once I put my name on that bill, I take ownership and I work it.
Well, frankly, that's the way it should be, yeah, I think.
Everybody's entitled to their own approach. And as the organization or the individual that's moving an issue forward, it's really their choice how to cover all areas.
Well, and sometimes you don't have the skill set. I mean, I watched a hearing this year where it was, you know, the town of, I think it was Bowie, and it was about a racetrack. I mean, these guys didn't know, you know, they're just a community, you know, development and subdivision that's trying to fight for keeping their community looking nice. What do they know about presenting in front of, you know, a hearing or, yeah, a committee? So they had a lobbyist there, mm-hmm, working with them to support them. And, you know, so I think that the comment is an interesting one.
It is an interesting one.
But particularly if you say you're not going to use public dollars. But, you know, there's a cost of doing business, you know, at government. And maybe they perceive that as a cost of doing business. It'd be interesting to get their feedback on and ask that question.
Yeah. Anyway. You know, I will say there are some lobbyists that are very good, and they supply us with very good information, because, you know, we have a lot of questions. There are a lot of bills that go through, and, you know, you can read the bill, but you can't always read between the lines. So lobbyists can be good educators. Not always. Some do. So everybody has a different motivation.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Fred. So we were talking about this idea, and gosh, we're coming up on top of the hour. It's gone quick.
Hasn't it?
Yes. And always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
Before we continue, continue, I do want to make sure that people know that this show will be on podcast. You go to the WFMD.com website, go to the features column, drill down there. There's an audio vault. You can go in there under Success Happens. You can find all of our past shows. If you like this show, Facebook it, tweet it, whatever you do, and let people know that this information is available, because we're here to educate and talk about success and how do we make success happen. We want this downtown hotel and conference center to be magnificently successful. Mm-hmm. We really do. And so, you know, please share the information out there on our past shows. The other thing is, if you're out of town and you're not within listening range, you can listen live online by going to WFMD.com and listen live during this hour. And you can find us from anywhere, I guess, in the world. Right, Frank? Yeah, he's nodding. So so that's why they call it the World Wide Web.
Right.
So anyway, back to the show. If we were to kind of wrap all this up, Karen, there was one comment you wanted to make sure we address.
There is.
Elephant in the room.
You know, one of the objections that we hear is, if this is such a great idea, why wasn't it fully funded by the developer? And I think people really have to understand that a hotel conference center in an urban versus a suburban environment is a totally different animal. That the cost for construction, for urban revitalization and infill development, particularly in a historic district, is significantly higher. You know, you've got to pay for costly parking, for high quality architectural design, treatments, material, historic and cultural management. Nowhere in the country except New York City, which is a totally unique market, has there been a hotel conference center in a downtown, very urban area, particularly a historic district, which has a whole new level of requirements, that has been solely privately funded. It's unique. And, you know, public-private partnerships, specifically for infrastructure, are becoming more and more common. And when you look at the economic benefits, it's certainly worth the investment.
Well, and I call that a win-win. It's a win for the government. It's a win for the people. It's a win for tourists who come here, and they have a great place to dine and sleep, as they call it in tourism, heads in beds, right?
Mm-hmm. And by the way, tourism is now spending $1 million a day in Frederick County.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. So thanks again to Richard Griffin, the mayor, Randy McClement, the team of folks at State, including Karen and her compadres, and to all those who have fought vigorously for this. Well done. And you've been listening to Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD. Again, thanks to Xerox Complete Document Solutions and Sweeties on the Creek, who's scooping now. Go stop by the Festival of the Arts. It's phenomenal. Have a great weekend.
News, weather, traffic, and free talk from Mid-Maryland. 930 WFMD, Frederick. 10 o'clock.